up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
Dream Champs Radio.
Legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Sangria, this your boy N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
Sangria, hope you're savvy. This is your boy N-O-R-E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
And this Drink Champs motherfucking podcast. Make some noise! And I have to introduce our guest right now. He's one of the most innovative peoples of the culture. He has stood on the front line from the beginning. He has signed what's arguably the greatest artist of all times. Company after company. You know, endeavor after endeavor, this man has stood there. He has danced. He has smiled. He even makes jokes about himself sometimes. I seen him introducing Nas, and he said, yep, I'd still be all up in the videos. I thought that was amazing that he can laugh at himself because what he's doing is dope shit. He's been an inspiration for me personally to see a black man take the world by his way. And doing it his way and being successful at it. I'm proud to introduce my friend. Didi is in the house.
Yeah. Thank you, right? Thank you, right? Thank you for having me.
Who would you rather, Diddy, Puff Daddy?
Diddy?
I'm gonna give y'all so many different flavors for the interview. You know, this is an important interview. You know,
monumental.
Yeah, it's monumental. This is the debut interview. You know, we gonna let the cat out the bag and make the announcement off the get go.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? We just signed Drink Champs.
That's right.
To begin or to revolt.
Yeah, so this is world premiere.
Yes, world premiere.
And it's a celebration.
Celebration. So you want some champagne too? We got some cold.
I mean, you know, I'm gonna go.
Taking shots of Ciroc right now.
Yeah, check this out. We gonna. I could really drink anything. You understand? I could go from Hennessy to tequila to champagne to whatever.
So you saying you a drink champ?
Yeah.
You just getting to the point.
Oh man.
You saying you a drink champ?
Man, I'm legendary out here.
Legendary.
I'm legendary.
Has there been anybody who ever outdrank you?
I never really had drink competitions.
But though, in your mind, saying? Like,
in my mind, not as long. I'm kind of consistent. So you know, you have people out to do they quick whatever, and then they rocked. I'm just consistently, consistently
the apple?
Pouring and enjoying
mango.
Ooh, mango. You know what I'm saying?
Mango.
You gotta pour and enjoy, and I consistently do that. You know, sometimes for like 3 days straight.
All right. Oh, you ain't got your shot?
Nah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, this is how we do it, eye to eye, Puff.
Yeah.
We gotta mean it. We take a shot at the Drink Champs. All right. Now, salute, and not only welcome us to Revolt, but welcome you to the Drink Champs.
Hell, Drink Champs.
Salute.
Salute, and it's that new mango. You all gotta try it.
Ooh, that's good.
That's good.
It was good hot.
Yeah, mango.
Holy that was
shit.
Good.
I'm not gonna lie.
You get in trouble drinking that.
And, shampoo, can you help tell the girl to make me a nasty because I'm married? I don't want to directly ask her. You know what I mean?
Huh?
Nah, I'm fucking with this guy. His name's Shampoo. You know Shampoo? He the street team.
Yeah, what up, Shampoo?
Shampoo. So Diddy, how did you, what was that moment where you was like, I got the greatest rapper of all time?
Man, when I heard his demo.
If you that
go
early on?
Yeah. If you go online, you can find his demo.
Before Unsigned Hype? You heard it?
No, I heard it. I saw Unsigned Hype, and that's when I called Matty C,
right,
and Mr. C, and I, you know, tracked down the demo just the explanation of what I heard, you know, and his look was so disruptive, you know.
That's a good way to explain it.
He felt like Miles Davis to me, you know what I'm saying, when I had first saw him, but it was like, it was a vibrational attraction that was there. Like I knew I like stared at the picture, you know what I'm saying, for like maybe 6 days. You know what I'm saying?
After hearing the music, you see the picture at the same time.
No, no, before I even got the demo. Just the picture in itself was giving me this strong vibration, and I knew that whatever this guy was saying, like, you know, it was something that was...
I want regular Ciroc. I'm sorry.
It was something that was really, 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 really authentic. Right. Just by the look in his eyes, you know? Mm. And then when I heard the music, you know, it was one of those things I immediately called my girl. And I was like, yo, you gotta tell me if this is as hot, as great as I really believe it is. Mm. You know? She heard it. She was like... Like, wherever he's at, you better go get him.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
And now, that's interesting that you said you called your girl.
Yeah.
Because women are the biggest consumers of music.
Without a doubt.
So how did you know that early on?
Because everything I did was for girls. My whole swag, my whole, you know, musically dancing. I started dancing because, you know, I like really... I really trust women's opinions, and I like their vibration, and, you know, I've always just loved women that really were into music, you know, that knew how to dance and was into music. I can't even relate to somebody that's not into music, so, you know, I had a girl that was really into music, and I really trusted her judgment, so it was something that you know when it's something crazy.
Right.
And you got a girl that's like that on that same wavelength.
She said that about Big prior to seeing
it. On the demo. Wow. Just on the demo.
Just on, the demo's crazy. The demo's some of his best work.
None of those tracks made it out from the demo?
Nah, but he was just freestyling over some beats. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that time where you could just rap on somebody's beat. He was like kind of the first to do that. I mean, second when, you know, Cube did the jacket for Beats, but he did it in another way. Mm. But when he went and rapped before Ready to Die on all the L.A. beats.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Before that, it wasn't like people were getting on people's tracks. You know what I'm saying?
So how did you guys started incorporating, like, the R&Bs, the R&B tracks, like the Juicies and all that? Because I can listen to Big's demo, and I can tell that was directly, which was my favorite record, by the way, Juicy. But how do you go about convincing a hardcore artist like Big to that this commercial success is something that he needs?
It really wasn't a lot of convincing. I was like, yo, if you wanna be Big. And, you know, first of all, when we did Party and Bullshit, he didn't know how to write a song. So, you know, just like most rappers, you know what I'm saying? Everything was like 60 bars and everything. And then so, you know, once, you know, I kind of broke down the whole song structure to him.
Wow.
He was like a genius. So he would take it and he just really was strong on making songs.
And he really didn't write rhymes, his raps down?
That was the second year.
Okay.
Yeah. This is breaking news. A lot of people don't know that. Mm. Yeah. The first year he would write them down. Mm. By the second year, you know, he would just sit in the room and wouldn't say nothing for like maybe 2-3 days, and go in and just do it from head to toe.
Right.
No punching in, nothing like that. Maybe a couple of times.
Wow.
You know.
Let's make some noise for that.
Yeah. Yeah, but as far as the big records, you know, going after the Juicy and the Big Papa with the Ozzy brothers, it was a vibe that I was in that I had already seen work to a certain degree, and I knew with Mo B and Premier we had the harder edge tracks, and I knew that there was just this opportunity, because even, you know, the West Coast was doing in their way their style of sampling more commercial type of hits, but I knew that these joints right here, these were the things that I grew up to in Harlem when I used to have to do my chores in the morning. Right. These records was really, really deep, like Chic to me, you know what I'm saying? And just having that Juicy sample and the Big Papa joint and then the One More Chance, I had all that at the same time. So, you know, I knew he wanted to be fly, and I told him, like, this is the road to the flyness. Or else you're just going to be really dusty and be doing videos behind, like in abandoned buildings.
Right.
And he was like, I want to be fly. He always wanted to just make sure his gear was flyer than somebody that was slimmer.
Right. Now, that One More Chance remix, like, Us in the Streets.
And as a DJ.
The album was already a phenomenon.
Yeah.
We already knew where Big was going. Mm-hmm. But then, y'all... One More Chance remix.
And the video that went with it was crazy.
The video. Yeah. Like, how like, what was the fuck is you thinking to say, like, what was it, because I believe he was gold at the time. Was that the, like, the record that you wanted to take it over to go platinum? Or
You know, as a producer, he had given me the, you know, the confidence. So, you know, when you really believe in everything's great and you're in that frequency, you know, you that's what you attracting. And I attracted that sample. And I was like, this one right here, this is this right here is scary, you know?
It was scary.
You know, because it was a true record for the ladies.
And not only that, I felt like you and Big perfected feeding the streets and feeding the radio.
Yeah.
Like, at the same time, you had Who Shot You, that all the streets, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I gravitated towards that, but you killing the radio. Like, was that you who developed the strategy of feed the streets? And
or was it just the balance that came out?
No, it was more of a respect thing of I knew what he wanted to do, and if we were going to have this like partnership on making music, and he was going to follow me down the road to making some of these bigger records, and you know, then I would follow him down the road to you know, making more of the hardcore records. There's only one line that I had made him change, or just record that he went too far for me.
What he said? Put us home. We need this story, did he?
Yeah, I think he talked about raping Mary or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I just couldn't do it. And and he respected
what,
that.
What, on Dreams of Fucking R&B, bitch, on that one?
Nah. This is just a freestyle.
Because you know what
Nas, it eventually came out, though.
Nas kind of like set that standard when he said, when I was 12, I went to hell for snuffing Jesus. So all artists was trying to say something disrespectful, but like still clever.
But that was the only thing that we had started to have a discussion about certain responsibilities. He didn't really give a fuck, but at the same time, he was kind of,
because Big was crazy.
He saw him
throw him over the bridge. That was hard.
Yeah, he said whatever he said was like, From a standpoint of lyricism,
right.
It wasn't like
shock value, like if you battled
like it.
Like if you're on the corner battling.
It's a shock value.
He seemed like on the first album, it felt like West Coast influence him a lot. Like that's the way I felt as a listener.
Really not at all.
Because there were some samples that they sampled a lot of some of the West Coast records.
As far as me sampling, I was definitely influenced by the Chronic. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Even Ready to Die, that whole thing.
So that was you, not him?
That was me. I heard the Chronic, and I just really became obsessed with how they were able to make it sound like it was actually, you actually got into a low ride in Compton.
Right.
So I wanted Ready to Die to feel like you was in Brooklyn and from New York. And so, you know, Dre definitely inspired me, you know, on that one.
What you enjoy more, producing or being in the front, like as the artist yourself?
I really enjoy producing the most, because my lane is really to be the platform, you know.
Right.
I've been blessed to be an artist, and I truly appreciate and thank everybody for letting me slide in and get that off.
Was
it
Big who suggested you should be an artist?
Yeah.
Let's make some noise for Big.
The Supercat record was the first time you run?
Yeah, get the horn.
Nah, I was on
that's the first time I heard you run.
On the Get Money.
Oh yeah, there's a Supercat.
I was supposed to be on the Get Money remix, but I was just like, I just froze up a little bit. Yeah, because I wasn't really believing all the way, and the record was so fucking, it was so hard and so crazy. So, you know, so that's why C's is on that joint.
Right. But it was supposed to be you?
Yeah, it was supposed to be me.
That's crazy.
But then, you know, when I got with Jesse West, we were like similar type of cats, like a little bit shy in a sense of, you know, but still once we got into our artistry, it was boisterous, but, you know, understanding how to ease into it. Right. And that Supercat thing was really wavy, you know what I'm saying? So it was really, it was more in my lane than the other joint, like fuck bitches, get money, you know what I'm saying?
But what was your dream? What was your dream first? Was it being a producer or being an artist?
It was just being in the record business on stage in some capacity. I started as a background dancer.
Right.
I went to see a Run DMC concert, and Run held up his sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And when he did that and I saw everybody hold him up all around the arena, I could relate to that. I was like, there's a way for me to be able to get, you know, to be able to live out this crazy dream that was in my head. Like, yo, I could rap I could really produce.
Right.
It was in me.
Mm.
But when I saw actually saw the power of Run and what he had and how he was. That's when I wanted to be be an artist. And then I would say like 15, not even 15 years later, like 10 years later, like I remember I was coming, I sold out the Garden three times, three nights in a row, and I would come from the ceiling. Right. And so I would be like kind of staged up there. And I remember the seat that I was sitting in. I looked at the seat that I was sitting
from
in.
The Run DMC.
From the Run DMC concert when I came up with the Dream. So
that's crazy.
He has a tennis ball from KRS-One from 1988.
He makes up different years every time we talk. Definitely not 1988.
So let's get to this line, because this is... Everybody,
we have some water or some.
Ain't no water here. No,
there's actually not. There's water.
Puff, you don't have water left.
Tell him he's crazy, man.
Oh yeah,
man.
But you got your own people. I totally forgot.
We
don't got water. We just got liquor.
Well, we got aqua hydrated. Sit you down now. We're gonna sit it down.
Who the aqua hydrate? They ain't hit me yet.
That's with Mark Wahlberg. You guys.
Yeah. Definitely.
So I got to get to this line, because it's like you shut all your haters up. And you said, it don't matter if I write rhymes,
I write checks. Yeah.
Why was it important for you to say that?
It wasn't really important for me to say that. I wasn't really getting like a whole lot of flack. I never came in the game acting like I didn't have ghostwriters. I treated myself like I was Whitney Houston. Mm. I was looking at Whitney Houston. I was like, there's something about her. She has some talent, you know. This is a talent that I don't have. And my thing is to... Make the best and the biggest record, no matter if somebody else writes it, produces the beat, whatever it is.
Yeah, don't matter. Yeah, as long as it's the best product.
I just wanted to make the dopest records to make people dance, feel good, you know, feel fly, you know, and make something that was fashion.
Cause you shut all your haters down.
Yeah.
It was like you ain't avoiding it. So
yeah. Oh yeah, but all my popping shit, can't nobody pop shit like me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because anything I'm saying, it's something I did.
That's why I'm fucking with you right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to learn how to pop
thing.
Shit.
I think y'all in Harlem pop.
Yeah. You know, all my shit is truth that I say. You know what I'm saying? Anything that I'm saying is truth.
Right.
And when you know,
niggas got aqua hydrate. Look at that, man.
That's good.
I gotta upgrade my life.
You need to hydrate. That's the way to be a drink champ right there.
Hey yo, you with us now?
Let's make some noise for that. So, Puff, throughout all these years, the best thing, you know, one thing you said to me, you said, Nori, every time I see you, we always smiling. And I really, like, thought back, I've been in the game since 1996, late 96, 97, and every time I seen you, you always smile.
Yeah.
How you do that?
Because I don't have no hate for people. I don't have no envy or jealousy for people. So, like, you know, my smile is when I see people, is real and it's genuine. Right. And I'm fans of everybody. You know what I'm saying? I could find something really great in anybody. That's the way I see things. And so, naturally, that's my thing, unless I'm in a little bit of a funk. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like... tripolar, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so not even bipolar.
Yeah. So
You're quadpolar.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah? Yeah.
You so, really mean that, too.
So, you know, whatever you're seeing is what you're getting, you know what I'm saying? But it's all coming from a place of love, you know?
And I admire that about you. And another thing that I admire about you that I don't feel nobody gives you the just due is I came over to your house yesterday. I was eating. I was about 15 minutes away. James Cruz hit me and said, come to the crib. Hey, Ali, excuse me. So I went to the crib real quick, and you have your moms there. Mm-hmm. You have your sons there. And I'm going to tell you something. Your son, you raised your son so excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, both of them came up to me and said, Nori, you good? You need anything? You want to ride the jet skis? And it was amazing to me. Because I'm like, damn. Like... If my father was Puff Daddy, I would be insane, you know. But these kids came up to me with respect. First off, if you under 21, the generation nowadays under 21 is the most disrespectful generation ever. All right, let's just keep it real. They hate old niggas. Are you going to take another shot? Is this a shot or you going to do a drink? Because, Puff, you know I'm with you.
I'm doing shots.
All right, let's go. I'm with you. Hold on. We blowing up, Puff. We got girls to pour that for us. All right,
cool.
Mind you, it's the first time we have a girl here.
I ain't going to lie.
Your kids.
I ain't going to lie. Sometimes I like to just pour my own shit.
You like to pour your own shit?
I like being
involved.
That's
rich nigga shit. Yeah. Let's show us how rich niggas do it.
I like being a host, you know?
Let's do it. We opening up. Come on,
we're going to hit this blue dot. You know what I'm saying? Shit is gluten-free, y'all. You know what I'm saying? It was wondering how I shed all these pounds.
You know, this is the Drink Champs drink. Blue Dot with seltzer water.
Yeah, Blue Dot.
Are you pouring my shot, too?
Gluten-free, yes.
Listen. Yeah. Puff just poured my shot, nigga. I made it.
Yeah, you got to give love.
Man, Puff just poured your
love
shot.
All day.
We made this make some noise. I told you.
Let me make sure.
We partners now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N.O.R.E. and DJ EFN.
So, Revolt, let's get to Revolt. Why did you feel like you wanted to start your own shit? You a stubborn nigga. You said, fuck it. I'm gonna start my own shit. They weren't playing your videos enough? Keep it real.
Nah.
That's how you felt.
Want to bring back the old MTV style, like where we needed music videos?
No, I was watching Revolt all day today.
I'm gonna be honest with y'all. Like, the story of me with Revolt was that, you know, MTV really gave me the network. You know, there was a time between MTV and VH1 that, you know, I had the number 1, 2, 3, 24/7. And 4. Yeah, just 24/7. They showed me a lot of love, so they taught me the game. And so when they started going into, like, things like Teen Mom and, you know, more reality-based thing, which I don't knock them for any of
but
that.
It was the music for them.
Yeah, because they had got so big, they needed to generate certain ratings. If you have a network and you don't generate certain ratings, then, you know, you can get kicked off, you know?
Right. Oh, man. Hold on. I'm not sure if I can keep going like that. I got a job.
Mango?
Mango?
We got to pace ourselves here.
I'm in. No, we ain't even pacing ourselves.
Yeah, mango.
All right? We're going to take a mango, all right?
Okay, so basically,
MTV, when I saw the door open, I saw that, you know, after TRL, like, you know, the platform to support new artists and up-and-coming artists and give people exposure, you know, had died. Right. You know, 106 and Park, you know, had went off. And I was like, you know, we have so much creativity out here right now, you know, and I'm going from this me to we phase, and I'm getting into my zone of what I'm supposed to be here for the music industry, which is being that platform, being a source of information, making sure that I'm giving back, I'm giving knowledge in any way that I can help people achieve their dreams. That's what Revolt was about. It really wasn't a money play for me. It was that we had no place to break new artists unless it was on YouTube, but it wasn't curated to a point from a level of specialists. You know, like almost like if you see Charles Barkley talking on a, you know, on an NBA show, you know that he has the right to say that. So coming from the artist perspective, I wanted to build something that was for the artist, and that's what we've begun. I have a lot of work to do. It's definitely the most difficult thing that I've ever taken on business wise.
And that's why Drink Champs is on Revolt, because we believe in you, nigga.
Yes,
and coming home.
You made a really, like, very business savvy transition into getting into this lane of the way you communicate with people. And sometimes when people see people that know how to communicate, they may not understand like the art in that, in holding a conversation and being able
to
communicate and bring
sure.
you know.
He told me that.
And so,
my partner, DJ EFN, he told me.
Like, we had a show on SiriusXM, and if you listen to it, it's this.
It's the same as that.
You know,
song.
But
correct.
And I was always trying to find the way that we can bring that back, because I knew what he does is uncanny. You know,
we're going to stop talking about me. We got Puff Daddy in the house.
Yeah.
Let's make some noise for that.
But check it out. We are going to talk about you. We're going to celebrate both you guys having the number one podcast.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
Out in the game.
That's
and you don't understand being number one. So here's being number one and not two.
That's right.
To the one and not the two. The one and not the two. You got to handle it, baby.
Ooh. Now, Diddy, that famous Source Awards speech where Suge got up there and he said, dancing all in the videos and all that. Did you thought that was you immediately or it had to hit you later?
I really couldn't believe it because homeboy, me and him were friends.
Wow.
And Suge and you?
Yeah. He would pick me up from the airport.
Wow.
You know,
I've never heard this before.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we got to break some news here. You picked me up from the airport, the whole entire thing. And so it kind of had me taken back because, I spoke to them as they were there. You know,
picked you up at the airport, is it when he was the bodyguard?
I was the first young nigga in the game, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
From 17. And so then I was the first young cat coming out
like
here. Soul Train Music Awards, you know what I'm saying? Right. Renting the fly cars from the African cats out there. So, you know, I was really bumping with the cats out here. I used to have the CeeLo and the Crap Games, you know, up in my hotel room, you know what I'm saying? And I was from New York. And they was giving love, and I would know to invite all the different cats from the streets and everything. So, you know, that's how we kind of like met up, stayed in touch and the whole thing. And, you know, I was just networking with the brother. And he would come pick me up from the airport, show me a lot of love. You know, I really had thought we were cool, you know what I'm saying? Right. Cool acquaintances, you know what I'm saying? Just being respectful from people coming into other cities and stuff. Right. And so when he had said, I was like, whoa, I definitely feel where that's coming from. Are they crazy? I was like, wow. And I was like, you know, I could blow this thing up right now, you know?
Very true.
You know, and, you know, I decided, I just felt it was really dangerous, you know what I'm saying, in a way, because the crowd was really, 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 really with me.
Benzino
and with
was
Bad
on
Boy.
Here and said, he said they could have did that.
They were just looking for the word or the, like, throw something up, and it's just crazy. And so then, you know, we went to the tunnel, you know what I'm saying, and you know, homeboy was in the tunnel, you know, and we go and have a conversation. This time where we run the tunnel, you know what I'm saying? The whole bar is mine. Let's not get it twisted, you know what I'm saying? I'm ordering garbage buckets of champagne. People are ordering like little things, garbage buckets. Right. You know, started the bar is where I would just stand and walk around. My feet wouldn't
touch
the floor.
Make some noise for Pop Fluff.
You feel me?
Bar as well.
So to make a long story short, you know, this is where the after party's at, of course, at the world famous tunnel.
Right.
And so then when I had that, I ran up and I asked him, and he said, "Nah, I was talking about Jermaine Dupri." And I was just like,
"Wow."
Yeah, I was just like,
"Wait, hold on, what?" I never heard this before.
I was just like,
"You giving us too much? So you trying to be number one?
Go ahead.
Yo. Keep going, Paul.
Yo, we didn't even know the shot."
Now I'm telling you pertinent information.
Yeah.
Like at that point I was scared because I know that the wolves that was with me, they was like real live wolves. And I didn't get in to hurt anybody.
Right.
I just wanted to be, you know, I'm from Harlem. Right. I don't want no violence. I don't want none of no danger, none of that shit. I really put it in my head. It gave me a reason for my ego to walk away, and that's the way that story goes from that night, and it was something I just wanted. I was like, damn, because I knew how much money I was getting. You know what I'm saying? And so I was just like, It was a business decision, you know what I'm saying? It was a straight business decision. It wasn't a being from New York decision. It was a cultural decision because I felt like the power that we had was so strong that I could do something so negative that it would really kind of mess things up. And so I was like, he just said it wasn't me. It was Jermaine Dupri.
Wow.
And so, you know.
This is on TMZ tomorrow.
Wait, he said that then, at that moment, after?
No, he said
I mean, when I stepped to him about it.
Okay.
I mean, I had to step to him about it.
Puff just say he stepped to Suge. Let's make some noise for that. I'm sorry.
So nobody, this has never been told?
I ain't never heard it.
Yeah. It's never been told, but it's just the truth. So right. You know, it depends on how you ask your line of questioning, how you can get to the root of it.
Right.
And so you know, and when he asked the line of questioning, that's what it is. It was honestly the scariest situation of my life because of the level of power that we had.
It could have gone really bad.
Yeah, and you know,
it wouldn't have just fucked up your shit. It would have fucked up a lot of shit.
But that wasn't where my heart was at. So you can only move where your heart is at. You know what I'm saying? If your heart ain't like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Anywhere. My heart was like, you know, damn near, yo, can't we just all get along? What are we doing right now? We all so hot right now. We supposed to be doing things together. And, you know.
But wait. But do you think if you would have approached it differently in that moment, the chain of events afterwards would have changed?
I think it would have been worse because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it was a decision that the city was waiting for me to make. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They let me know that they was with me. Mm-hmm. And
What are you doing?
I'm just taking a.
And you ruining the conversation.
No, I thought it was, come on, let's do the shot. Right. Oh my God! I just took this shit for myself. I'm like,
what's this? Is this that mango?
What's that mango?
That mango.
Arapa.
Baka baka ping pong. Yeah, this is not going good. This is gonna be bad.
Yeah. But just you always have to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? Some people are gangsters that at the end of the day could just turn it up and just be like fuck it. And some people have like a level of conscience because of their relationship with God. Mm. And so me knowing that I could do mass destruction, it wasn't something that was authentic to me. That wasn't who I was. I just wanted everybody to get money, be fly. And dance, you know what I'm saying? It had pretty girls smiling and, you know, everybody getting treated with respect. Mm. So my thing wasn't there, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. Damn, Paul. You giving us some good shit.
Syrah!
Yeah, we drinking Syrah! Mad Syrah.
Got a Syrah bird in here.
You know who says that? My parrot.
Mm.
Oh, that's
some rich shit. That was some rich shit. Let's make some noise. Oh my God, I'm gonna keep thanking you. I'm sorry, cause I'm a thankful nigga. The other day I had thanked Wack, right?
Yeah.
And Wack called me, was like, man, you ain't gotta thank me. And I'm just saying, I was raised with a mother. You know what I'm saying? Like my mom's made me say thank you. My mom's made me hold the door. And that was something, like, again, I said it earlier, but it was something that I admire. Your mom was out there yesterday. She had to fly. I don't even know
she
what
like
type of
role.
She
had like a dashiki kimono on. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, that was some fly
shit.
She
bought me like 5. I just wear them all over the globe.
I ain't gonna lie, I drank mad at your Pinot Grigio. Do I owe you money?
No, not at all. Everybody eats around me. I got like a restaurant in the crib.
Yes, everybody eats around me.
Say any of that stuff to be braggadocious. I say that to inspire the real ones. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The real ones, when they hear that talk, they get right at it. They hit them books. They get focused. They start taking care of their minds, their bodies, and their soul, their spirituality. Mm. You know, the other ones that don't understand it, you know, it's not for them. I don't represent the 90%. I represent the 10% of the real ones that's out there to get in and make a difference.
Right. Now,
so when you're around me, everybody eats.
Nah, I love that. I love that about you. You know, another things I want to point out and admire about you is every time I see D-Rock, when I see D-Rock, I'll be like, damn, because you didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
That was Biggie right hand, man. You keep him around as a street nigga. We respect that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody that was around me, you know, just throughout that time and has really rolled with me, like they straight for life. We life is together and, you know, and that's what it is. Because it was a lot of, like, crazy times and, you know, it was a lot of real things that those brothers did. Like, anybody in my crew is legends, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Stand-up legends. You can look at their resume and just
James
check
Cruz,
it.
James Cruz, Kenny
Burns. You know
Burns.
What I'm saying? You can really do a DNA test on that, and that thing is going to come back. Mm. Really, really, really official. Mm. Believe that.
Now, Diddy, we just signed to you.
Yes.
We are fucking with you.
Revolt.
We are rolling with you.
Woo. Yeah.
Shout out to Ramon.
Champs.
But you're not exempt from the question.
Every appetizer. Now you're losing them.
No, I'm not losing nobody. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, but look, I'm going to do a twist.
All right.
J-Lo fart smell like strawberries?
Oh, this is definitely a twist. He twisted to the left.
Keep it real. Just keep it real.
Niggas want to know.
She never farted around me.
Damn.
3 years, damn. She never farted around me. Hey, yo, she's a very, very, very focused, intelligent, smart woman.
Did you have a schedule to eat out at, like, what, like, Mondays at 8? Wednesdays at 7? Hey, come on, Paul.
No,
a nasty nigga. Let's keep it real.
Yeah. But you know what I don't do? I just don't kiss and tell, you know what I'm saying?
It's just
at the end of the day, my respect for women and, you know.
I respect your answer.
You got to ask. You just said it.
We ain't get it yet, but we know it's coming. Yeah. And we believe in you.
I'm checking the tracking on FedEx.
But come on. I'm sorry. Is the question is a little crazy?
Okay, no. Right. Ask me.
I like you a little more.
Yeah, he's looking
right
at
now,
me directly now. You're asking.
Oh, my bad. Damn. Nigga just hit me with the text. I just got it. I did not know. Your girl.
No.
I did not know.
Anything I'm gonna say is real. Like you know. You know, my woman now is you know, that's my woman. That's my number one woman. That's what it is. That's my queen.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm never going to be answering a question like, you know, that's going to be disrespecting anybody. But ask your question, though, B. You know what I'm saying?
Take another shot, huh? Yeah, you loosen up a little
bit. Cassie's a big girl.
Loosen up a little bit.
How you
going to
tell them to ask the question? I didn't know Cassie was here.
I'm so sorry, Cassie.
Hey, yo, it's Cassie.
Don't worry about it.
She's here.
Yeah.
Oh, she's here.
Oh, my God.
Go away.
I'm so sorry, Cassie.
Oh, my God.
Come over here.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the record about my wife. She did a record about my wife on my mixtape. You cleared it because that's how rich you are. You didn't remember.
No, I do.
You remember
that nigga
from
Cassie.
Yeah.
Give her
a kiss.
I'm so sorry. I'm retarded. You know I'm just a medication.
You know, I'm a product. Yeah. I'm a product of special education. You remember why?
Get the mic over there.
That was hard. I'm so sorry. I did not know.
Wow. We're befuddled.
I did not know. She did a Mom Baby Girl. The Hazardous Sounds produced it. That's
right. Yeah.
Damn, if I were new.
Y'all got to do another one.
Yeah, because if I were new, I know her makeup artist at least 30,000. And a stylist, so it's very expensive.
No.
I would have done the video in your crib. Word up. You could have gave me the crib.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's not crazy like that.
I could do shit like that now. I could just tell you, I'm going to go to the crib.
Yeah. I'm just... The crib what?
I'm just going to... I don't know.
Brunch in bed right now.
You ain't see his crib? Hey, this nigga got a W hotel.
I know we drinking. We all over the place.
Yes.
One of the first things I did
was... have another shot.
Y'all have
bitch ass motherfuckers.
We ain't gonna do the chilled ones though. It's chilled. I'm sorry. Oh, all right.
And no, we need to get Maria over here.
Who's Maria? Maria sounds like the queen of Colombia.
What's her name? Know what's wifey's name?
Kalamazoo.
What's your wifey's name?
I don't know. She's over there.
Nary and Nori.
Come over here. Nary, come over here. I'm going to ask the question that needs to just be asked about, you know, this great king. How is it to be married to this man with so much charisma? And so much life and so much,
so much resilience. I'm just throwing it out there. Yeah.
It's like being married to me, myself, and Irene. You ever saw that movie?
Okay. So, yo, check this out.
Yeah. We love you, Diddy.
At the end of the day, you see in the real. If you come on this show,
you have to be prepared.
You gotta be prepared. They're gonna ask some questions that are not even meant to be disrespectful, but that's a show. Yeah. They're gonna ask the questions and say the things that the people want to know and the people are saying. You know what I'm saying? This is one of the craziest, realest motherfucking eccentric interviews I've ever done, and I want to thank y'all for giving me this moment.
You can't go nowhere right now. You leaving right now?
You trying to leave.
Let me ask you this.
I can have a big moment.
As a person that knows you, right? It seems like you started only having fun again when you started hanging back out with French Montana. Am I accurate or am I bugging?
You're truly accurate.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh. Accurate.
Hey, yo, yo.
Yeah.
Come on. Accurate?
Accurate.
Accurate.
We don't know how to pronounce shit over here, Diddy. Come on.
You sound the resource.
I'm going to tell you this. French Montana is an angel. You know, when God brought him into my life, you talking with somebody that's like pure. He's not even in a negative zone or space, even anything. Like he just knocks it away from him. And he's taught me so much and been such a great friend.
He taught you.
And he made me smile. He made me start smiling again.
I felt like after Big, like, because I knew you since 97. And I felt like your smile wasn't...
Yeah, it was getting kind of fake. You know what I'm saying? Because I had lost a lot of my spirit. You know what I'm saying?
You think I'm accurate?
Absolutely.
Super accurate.
Man. You're making me a real journalist right now.
Yeah.
Stop. You put too much pressure on me.
You were real bold now. And Ciroc. And Deleon Tequila. Yeah,
for real, we want to thank y'all for coming. And I really want to congratulate these brothers. I came here to get really, 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 really fucked up in a responsible way.
And you did. Thank you.
Yes.
You did.
And I came here to just be vulnerable and share with people that I trust in a comedic way, in an entertaining way, and in a way for the people that support us and never see us vulnerable because we act too cool. You know what I'm saying?
Real talk.
So at the end of the day,
he understands the show. Right, he understands the show.
So congratulations to you, my brothers.
Yeah.
And you know, anything that we said that was inappropriate, fuck it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
We don't
Dream
anything.
Champs right here on Revolt and the number one podcast in the motherfucking world.
That's right.
I'm so sorry, sister.
Do we get a t-shirt?
Of course.
Oh.
You get a t-shirt. You get whatever you want, sis. And I'm gonna be honest.
Come to Miami. The champ cup.
Yeah, you got the trophy.
Oh shit!
You know we get you the ass eater of the year, right?
Cause
hold up 1 second. I want to let everybody know they could check us at drinkchamps.com. Follow us at drinkchamps on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Check Nori out at The Real Noriega on Instagram, at Noriega on Twitter, and New Year Nori on Snapchat. You could check me, DJ EFN, at Who's Crazy Instagram, at DJ EFN on Twitter, at Who's Crazy on Snapchat. Make sure you follow the team, our visual media manager, Rich Blanco, at Rich underscore Blanco on Instagram and Twitter. Our engineer, Hazardous Sounds, at Hazardous Sounds on Instagram and Twitter. Our photographer, Big Drain, at Drain on Instagram and at Big Drain on Twitter. Our graphic artist, AKZ, at AKZ916 on Instagram and Twitter. Also, shout out the whole CBS Play.it team. Follow them at PlayIt on Twitter. And make sure you grab yourself some Drink Champs shirts, shot glasses and cups and all that merch at drinkchamps.com or check our homies at 8and9.com. Head over to iTunes and pick up the singles For the Win, Moguls, and Petty, as well as the Drunk Uncle Project from Nori. Also, my album, Another Time, is out now, available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or physicals at crazyhood.com. Check Hazardous Sounds Project, Save the Culture, and you can check that at hazardoussounds.com or check it on all digital platforms. Also, look out for Nori's cooking show coming very soon and my Coming Home Vietnam film, which you can see the previous films about Haiti, Cuba, and Peru currently on Revolt TV. Shout out the whole Drink Champs army. We really appreciate your support, and we out of here.